What's up, my beautiful people? This is episode 29 as we talk about the relationship between self-love and your money. And Keisha does a really good job about talking about your money story and how to recognize it, in addition to how it's so important to have self-love and taking care of yourself as it really reflects into yourself and your relationships and, of course, your money. And so she talks about loving yourself and shedding all those layers of expectations and judgments, talking about boundaries, talking about how to demonstrate self-love in your finances and how that's all interconnected. So I'm really excited for you to listen to this. And I do apologize for the audio. Unfortunately, technology was not on our side that day. However, if around, I believe 15 minutes or so, it gets a lot better and clearer. So I'm hoping that regardless of the audio, you get something out of it. And let's get on with the show.
So I think that self-love is a very broad concept and it can be really intimidating, right? We know what it means in essence, which is to love ourselves, but how does that show up in everyday life? What does that look like? And for me, in my own journey, I have learned that I can show myself self-love by essentially honoring, appreciating, and showing gratitude for my past self, my present self, and my future self, right? And if we're able to radically accept ourselves, then we're able to show up in life unapologetic for who we are and not afraid to take space, not afraid to be able to be authentic. And I realized in my own journey that every issue that I've ever had with money was essentially related to me not being able to show up as myself. And because I didn't know how to love myself and accept myself, I had a very turbulent relationship with myself. And when you don't have a consistent relationship with yourself, that shows up in every area of your life. It shows up in your relationships. It shows up in your work. And it most definitely shows up in your finances. And so to tell you all a little bit about my personal journey with self-love and money, I'm going to take you back to about 2.5 years ago. So 2.5 years ago, I was working in Florida as a mental health therapist, and I found myself being very unhappy and unsatisfied with my work. And I just thought that if I could find the right job, then I would finally be able to be happy. Can you guys relate to that? Finding like, feeling like you have to find your source of happiness in some external circumstance or situation or another person? That's what I was doing. I was looking for my happiness and trying to find the right job. And I had this calling deep within me that was essentially telling me that I was called to do more in this life and to be more in this life. And as long as I ignored that calling, I personally never found inner peace or inner happiness. And so throughout that time, I started to look for things that I knew would make me happier. I didn't know what the big picture was or what the final answer was, but I knew what essentially I could do to start making myself feel happy, which is really to connect with my creative side. And for me, that's dancing and acting and writing, things that are really my passion. So I started doing those things again. And of course, when we start to pursue our passions, we become healthier, we become happier, and we start to thrive. And it's no coincidence at that point in my life, that's where I happened to meet the love of my life. Right? Because everything was going well for me. I was confident in my own skin. I was happy with what I was doing and how I was showing up in the world. And I attracted that. I attracted my dream partner into my life. So I ended up moving from Florida to Washington, D.C. And I told myself, okay, I know what self-love looks like. I know what it feels like because I've been able to experience it. So I'm going to build this new life in Washington, D.C. for myself. And I promised myself that I would show up for myself, go after my dreams, and really love myself. But anytime that we're outside of our comfort zone, what tends to happen? We start to have fears pop up, right? These thoughts of, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I deserving? And then that fear mindset also replicates in our finances. And for me, it started showing up as scarcity and lack. And I felt like I never had enough money. I felt like I couldn't afford to do all the things that I really wanted to do. I felt like money would leave as soon as it would come in. And so my relationship with money was very up and down, just like my relationship with myself, my self-confidence, and my self-love. And so eventually all of that fear and scarcity and lack kind of took over my self-love, and I stopped doing all of the things that really made me love myself and appreciate myself. And because I stopped doing those things, the fear and the scarcity took over. And then I found myself going back to the very thing that I said I wouldn't do anymore, which is going back to being a traditional mental health therapist, which I knew didn't fulfill me and wasn't really what my true calling in life was. It was a part of it, but it wasn't all of it. And then so, of course, when we ignore our heart and our soul's calling, the universe starts to really show up in a big way and starts to tell us that, you know, we're really not going down the right path. And for me, I became more and more miserable in my work, and I started to get depressed. I started to become more anxious. I lost all interest and all passion in being a therapist, and I almost didn't recognize myself. I started seeing a therapist. I started seeing a psychiatrist. I was on 3 different medications. And for me, this was essentially like hitting my personal rock bottom, because I had lost all direction. I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing in life. I just knew that what I was doing wasn't making me happy. And it really took a kind of a nudge from the universe and from God to give me this random idea to start traveling. And I ended up in Guatemala, of all places in the world. And it was the most magical and transformative period of time for me. And it really reminded me of who I am in this world, really, that as we all are, we're all infinite beings with infinite opportunities available to us. But we can sometimes forget that because we get kind of bogged down by day-to-day human life. And so as soon as I got back from that trip, I quit my job. And I made a promise to myself that I would never, ever put myself last again. And I would start showing up in life and start being bold and start being brave and really go after the things that I wanted. And so the next few months following that were just a period of self-discovery of me doing a bunch of random freelance jobs, trying to figure out, you know, what I was called to do in this life. And I found myself working in a restaurant a couple of months later, part-time, and I just had this epiphany recently. I was standing in the restaurant, and it was just like slapped in the face with reality. And that epiphany was that I was essentially standing in another person's dream. So the owner of that restaurant had the belief in himself, the confidence in himself, the love for himself to go after his dream, and he created this restaurant. And I was essentially helping sustain his dream. And I really started to think about that and how I'm not showing up for myself, not loving myself, not going after for the things that I wanted, that essentially meant then that I would be showing up and helping sustain someone else's dream. And I knew that that wasn't enough for me anymore. And because anyone else thought that way? Yeah. Yeah, and I'm also curious if anyone has also found themselves going back to a situation that they swore they would never go back to again, right? Because we have these moments where we're like, we feel strong and independent and bold and like we know what we want and we know what loving ourselves looks like, but then we backslide because of fear and we find ourselves in situations that, you know, we promised we'd never go back to. But again, so I had this epiphany in the restaurant and I saw this connection between how someone, such as the manager at the restaurant, he's a very confident person. You can tell he has this energy about him that he loves himself. And what he sets out to accomplish in this world is going to get done no matter what. And because of that, he was also very financially successful, even independently wealthy. He had multiple businesses. He didn't have to worry about money. Was never a factor in how he decided to live his life. And that was really inspiring to me. So I ended up quitting the job at the restaurant and starting my business now, which is the life coaching business. And this business is essentially me making a declaration to myself and to the world that I'm going to love myself unapologetically and show up in the world no matter what. Not let other people's opinions or judgments of me dictate my actions. Not let my own fears get in the way of me living my dreams. And as a result of me showing up and standing out for myself, my finances, my relationship with my finances has started to blossom. And now, because I understand that relationship, I'm really passionate about helping other people, other women in particular, learn how, by loving themselves, that their finances can't help to blossom, and they can't help but to experience abundance in that area of their lives as well. So that is my story.
I was getting the chills of a lot of things that you were saying, and I was told that every time you feel chills in your body, it means that's the truth, which means what you were saying is a lot about self-love and taking ownership of what we really desire is the truth, is that we need to hear the truth, and that as we step more into our power and to what we desire, that's when that relationship with your money is so strongly connected.
Exactly. When you show up for yourself, the universe shows up for you too. And because, you know, we hear a lot about the law of attraction and all these things, but essentially the energy that you're putting out into the world, it can't help but to come back to you. And the things that we focus on can't help but to be amplified in your life. And I can speak to that so passionately today because I've experienced that in my own life.
Gosh, this I don't know what's going on. We're still making it work. Was there ever a time where you lack the self-love and then it replicated or mirrored your relationship with somebody else, whether that was like friendship or even intimate relationship? I know we're going to be talking about it later, I'm just curious about yours. Something happened. 1 second. Lost Keisha, what happened? Ladies, so sorry this is not working. Give us a second. How do I get you back on? For some reason, you don't have an add button. Let me see. Keisha, I'm not able to add you. for some reason. Oh, thank goodness.
I'm back.
Woo! All right.
All right.
Persistence is key.
All right. So you were asking me if my lack of self-love showed up in other relationships or if you were back to me in other relationships.
Yeah, like how did
you, if you were aware of it, what did that look like and how did you become aware that was happening?
Yeah, so I wasn't initially aware of it. And I think that's true for all of us. When we haven't reached a certain point in our own personal growth and development, we're able to see the problem with everyone else, right? We can see all the flaws and like all the dysfunctional things about everybody else, but we're not able to recognize it in ourselves. And for me, I just thought, wow, I just had really crappy luck. And all of the relationships I ended up in just ended up being not particularly fulfilling or not really a good match for me. And it really took me going through multiple heartbreaks in my relationship, really painful experiences with, you know, men I was dating, and also going into therapy to learn how me not showing self-love was really connected to a lot of things I experienced in my childhood that I had never dealt with. And in healing myself through therapy, I was finally able to get to the point where I started being able to attract healthier partners to myself because I was healthier. And I had learned how to love myself. And so when you love yourself and you respect yourself and you have certain standards for yourself, other people who are on that same level, that same frequency, can't help but to be attracted to you too, because you see one another in the other person. And so I think that works both ways. Whether you're lacking self-love, that's going to be reflected to you in your relationship. If you're very confident about who you are and you love yourself, that's also going to be reflected in your relationships. And I think, yeah, relationships and money are probably the two areas where we experience the most indicators for how well we're doing personally.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know why. Sorry. Can you hear me now? Yes, that's perfect. A little bit. Okay, so here's another question. And I think maybe you and I have talked about this, some individuals that we talked to. So how do you deal with self-love? And purchasing things that are maybe excessive, and you feel guilty about it, how do you overcome those guilt trips? I guess luxurious things that you purchase, or maybe it's just that you want to buy that, like I'm owning myself, I desire to be owning this, or like, does that make sense? Like, is it self-love, or is it just me being spoiling myself, or whatever?
So I think that's a great question, and something that I see a lot, particularly in the United States, is our society is very much set up that in order to have something nice for yourself or to do something nice for yourself, you have to have earned it, right? So we see that a lot in the workplace. So we feel like, okay, in order for me to get this promotion, I have to do X amount of work or earn it in some way. And then that same structure plays out in everyday life. So we feel guilty or undeserving if we feel like we haven't done enough to earn these things that are nicer or more luxurious. And essentially, it's understanding that there's nothing that you have to do to earn nice things, because who we are naturally, we were born being worthy, we were born being deserving, we were born being enough. and we were born with the all of the opportunities that surround us so that we would be able to tap into it and receive that abundance in our own lives. And so if someone is kind of struggling with guilt about having nice things, then I would encourage them to go back into their lives a little bit deeper, maybe as far back as childhood, and see at what point did they learn that they have to earn or put forth X amount of effort in order to treat themselves well. Why is that a rule? When did that become a rule? And if it's a rule that's essentially causing you pain and suffering, which it is, if you're feeling guilty or bad about it, then it's something that needs to be worked through so that you can release it. Yeah, and yeah, it's a really common thing too. And why I feel like the
typical corporate America 9-to-5 structure can be really unhealthy,
because it teaches us from a very young age that we have to do something or exert a amount of effort to be rewarded in some way. But essentially, it comes down to whether or not you feel like you're worthy and deserving of these things just for being who you are. And that comes through practicing self-love.
Two more questions.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about money story. That includes your earliest memories around money. Like, what are some of the first things that you can remember when you were really young about money? Like, maybe that was how your parents reacted and responded to money. Maybe things that they would say around you or whoever it was that raised you, like cliches and sayings that we grow up with, like, oh, money doesn't grow on trees and easy come, easy go. And then also throughout your life, other significant and impactful experiences that you have had with money. So, and I'll give a personal example. So my money story, like the earliest memory that I can remember around money, and how I think that memory really triggered me and like really kept showing up in different parts of my life, was I remember being really young, and I remember my mom, she had this dream house. There was her dream house that was on the market, and she fell in love with it. And I remember her taking us to go see her dream house, and she was really excited. And she, you know, she put in a bid for the house, and there was another buyer who was competing with her, and eventually the other buyer outbid my mother. So they were able to put forth more money to buy the house than my mother was able to put forth. And as a result, my mom lost her dream house. And that was probably the only time I can remember my mother crying, like bawling her eyes out. Like, my mother is not one to cry at all, but for the first time, I saw my mother cry. And it made that connection to me mentally that, okay, well, not having enough money means that you will have pain and suffering in your life. And I also really understood that without money, you're not really able to have all of the things in your life that you hope and dream for. Because my mom really wanted this house to be able to provide, you know, a better living environment and situation for her kids as well. And that's one of the earliest memories that I had with money, which was essentially a very painful one. So that painful connection with money is like money not being there when you need it, money not showing up when it matters the most, stayed with me. And that's the story that I replayed throughout my life over and over and over again. Money wasn't there for me when I needed it. Money would show up, but then it would leave just as quickly as it came. And so by people going back to their early experiences with money and also their most impactful and experiences, you can start to write out and I recommend that you do this for yourself. Write it all on paper. write out your money story so you can really understand what your relationship with money is. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yeah, that answers the question.
Yeah, that answers the question, absolutely.
When did you realize?
When did you realize?
At one point, were you aware of your money story with your mom? Honestly, probably within the last year. And that was related to me doing the personal development work of reading books, you know, like really trying to understand where this my turbulent relationship with money came from. And so I would highly recommend, if someone's just getting started and trying to figure out what their money story is, I recommend the book Emotional Currency by Kate Levinson. And that book really helped me to understand how my money story is playing out in everyday life. Because you're not able to change your story without first understanding what your story is. You can't change your story if you don't know what your story is. And that book is a really good way to help you understand what your money is.
Transformation comes with awareness. Transformation happens after awareness occurs, right? Absolutely. And there's so much, you know, because I know it can be scary to face your past. We don't want to go back to all the traumatic and scary things, but like you said, we can't get to changing transformation and essentially the promised land.
Of, you know, living our best lives without being able to face that.
Right. And that's why we hire coaches and experts like you.
And therapists that have experience.
My last thing, I'm going to close this down here because I don't want to cut off again. I never know if Wi-Fi. What are some self-love lessons that our audience can use, or things that maybe you do that could help people that are new to this? Absolutely. So I created a few resources on my website, which is Self Love Bingo. And it just has, it's a game that you can kind of play, and it has 27 ideas for practicing self-love. So self-love is different for every single person. So there's not one particular formula because it's really about honoring who you are as an individual. But some ways that you can start to practice self-love is being more aware of what your personal boundaries are. Because I say when we're not practicing self-love, it's because we're essentially wearing a mask. We're wearing a mask in the world where we're being who we think other people want us to be. So we're showing up to meet other people's expectations. And so part of loving yourself is shedding all those layers of expectations and judgments and opinions of other people, which means that you have to start enforcing healthy boundaries, learning when to say no. Learning when to say yes, learning how to quiet the inner critic that is always talking in our minds, telling us that we're not good enough, that we're not deserving, that we're not deserving or that we're not worthy. And that's just finding stillness within ourselves. So things like meditation, having a spiritual practice that connects you to your highest self, yoga, breathing, spending time in nature. The more that you can remove distractions, the more that you can get in touch with who you really are and your inner voice and what we call our intuition and our soul and all these things, is that we have to quiet the noise. And it also means, again, like I mentioned earlier, expressing appreciation and gratitude for who you were, who you are, and who you are becoming. So you need to nurture all three versions of yourself. So if your past self is in need of practicing some healing, you know, maybe that means going to therapy. Maybe that means practicing forgiveness for things that you've done in your past that you're not proud of. Forgiving other people in your life for the ways that they hurt you because they didn't know any better. And then for the present self is honoring where you are now. You know you have goals. You know that you're trying to get somewhere in life, but you're not quite there yet. But that doesn't mean that you have to be so hard on yourself. Understanding that change is a journey, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, and it's going to take time to step into your future self. And then nurturing your future self is investing in yourself, reading books, hiring people who can help you progress and go further on in your path in life. Surrounding yourself with people who call you to grow, people who challenge you to grow, things like that. So if you get lost on how to practice self-love, think about how you might be neglecting your past self, your present self, or your future self, and then start to invest in those versions of yourself.
The last thing I'm going to ask is how are people able to work with you if they're interested in learning more?
So I currently have a 90-day program, which is called the Dare to Dream program. And the reason I call it Dare to Dream is because it really does take a certain level of courage and bravery and hope for a person to believe that they can change, to believe that they can have all of the things that they desire for themselves, to believe that they can go from point A to point B. And so if we dare to dream, that's when we really start to honor and love ourselves, because we are nurturing the person that we know that we have the potential to become. And so if someone wants to work with me personally, we can work one-on-one in my 90-day Dare to Dream program, where I essentially help you to get the mindset needed, as well as the process and action plan from taking your ideal version of yourself from just a dream into reality. So you can contact me on my website, KeishaDelvaCreative.com, and they can schedule a free 30-minute discovery call with me. Just learn a little bit more about, for us to discuss a little bit more about what their particular challenges are and how we might best be able to work together one-on-one. May, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, so this is the perfect month for you to practice self-love and make sure that you're taking care of your mental health.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me that May was Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, right?
That's important. All right.
Okay, well, again, if anyone has any specific questions, just drop her a message or go on her website. Check her out. She's amazing. She's a heartfelt girl, and she definitely walks her walk. So everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on the next live class.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for watching.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. Did you like this episode? Share it with a bestie or any social media platform that you use the most. This does wonders for the podcast and really to serve those that really need to hear this information. Of course, you know I'm all about education and entertainment and providing the knowledge and tools and resources for you to really excel. Want to have a question answered on the show? Head to anchor.com and record or send a message, and it'll be answered and featured on the next upcoming episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm grateful for you. Shine bright.